Listen, I think what the state of polling speaks to is the fact that this is going to be an incredibly close and competitive presidential election, the way that all modern presidential elections are, right? We know 2016 was incredibly close, 2020 was incredibly close. This is going to come down to tens of thousands of votes in a handful of states. And so that's why tonight is an opportunity for President Biden to communicate directly to those voters that are going to decide this election. And tonight he's going to present a clear choice between himself, who's fighting for the American people every single day, and he's going to be debating against Donald Trump, who's now running his campaign as a convicted felon, who's fighting for himself. That's going to be the fundamental choice that we present on.
Boy, oh boy. I read a story this morning that said they're anticipating that this debate is going to be the most watched debate in, I guess, modern presidential history, maybe in presidential election history, tonight's debate. So that should be, ooh boy, the stakes are high too. And that was one of Biden's spokespeople there who was explaining, you know, after they see Biden tonight, after everybody sees Biden, they're gonna side with him like they did back in 2020. But this, I mean, it is this, like I said, the stakes are high. And we're gonna talk about some of what the candidates, I think the biggest pitfalls for each. I was thinking about this when I was getting ready for the show, actually last night. If you had to get down what the biggest pitfalls for Joe Biden were, I think it's just being there. I mean, not to be mean, but like, dude, you know. Yeah, just like being there, I think it would be maybe some of the biggest pitfall for him. He's on his way. Apparently, I think I read that he did leave Camp David and he's on his way already to Atlanta. And I don't know if Trump's, I mean, I'm sure Trump is already there. Trump isn't doing it. He didn't do any mock debates. He didn't do anything like that. He has been doing some campaign events. I don't really think Trump needs to do mock debates. I think at some point you just need to know the information and you need to know your opponent. And that's not something necessarily, and I can't tell you how many debates I've done. That's not something necessarily that, you know, a mock debate is going to be able to equip you with. So it is going to be fascinating. Fascinating indeed. So welcome to the radio program. And Dana Lash here with you. And we have also, we have the simulcast that you can follow along with on Channel 347, DirecTV. We got, gosh, X, Rumble. I almost put everything together. We're just everywhere. Just go find us. We're everywhere. So this debate tonight, obviously, we're going to be watching and we're going to have ways that you can participate, including the debate bingo. Everyone keeps asking if it's going to be a drinking game. I don't know why you guys have a death wish. Why do you guys have a death wish? Have you seen the people asking this, Kane?
Yeah.
I mean, there's entire thread discussions over it. And I'm just like, why are you people? I would like to be able to say hi tomorrow. So, you know, come on, you guys. Don't go out like that. Remember, it's the sweet meteor of death. So we're going to have the big debate tonight where I have some, I'm going to be on Fox tonight. I don't know what time yet, but we'll have all of that. I'll be on Fox this evening. Doing some of the pre-debate stuff. And then, of course, obviously, we're going to have all the stuff this, you know, tonight where we're going to have our live thread. I was thinking about converting it to a live chat because Lorraine said that she'd host it. So that may happen. It may switch over. Surprise, Lorraine. But anyway, it's going to be a packed evening. It's going to be a late night. And so that's, you know, it's going to be good. The drugs that he's going to be on. We had a listener who said adrenaline. Can you just give somebody a shot of adrenaline? I've never seen that done except in Pulp Fiction.
Isn't that what they do when people are having a heart attack or something? They just inject the heart with adrenaline really quick?
Well, again, my knowledge of drugs extends to cops, Sudafed, and Pulp Fiction. So, yeah. So isn't that what he used when What's-Her-Face had her? Wasn't it adrenaline that they stabbed?
So.
Okay, anyway,
yeah.
I don't mean to like go on a like side trip here, but I am so anxious to see what condition he's in, and I know you all are all as well. But the debate, it kicks off 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, and it's going to be 90 minutes. I want to show you, can we get so they have, you know, no audience. They're going to make it to where they can't talk over each other. I've got to show you this debate button or the what is it? The mute. It's a mute signal. It's a mute indicator. They don't get a mute button for the on the mic for their podium. They don't get that. But apparently, I don't know who controls it. If it's the debate hosts that control it, the moderators, I don't know. So I need you to watch this because CNN is so proud that they discovered an on-off switch. Guys, watch.
If we go behind the podiums, you can see two green lights. When they're on, they signal to the candidate his microphone is on. When the green lights are off, they signal to the candidate his microphone is off. Now I want to give you a sense of what it will look like for viewers at home if a candidate whose microphone is off interrupts a candidate whose microphone is on. So I'm standing at one podium, and I'll ask Phil to come in and take the other podium. And so let's say I'm answering a question. My light is green, and I'm speaking. Phil's microphone is off, and his green lights are not illuminated. He's going to interrupt me as I'm speaking, and this is what it will sound like. My volume remains constant, while Phil's interruption can be difficult to understand.
Phil's talking at a normal volume, though.
Let's try the opposite. My microphone is now on.
Victor's microphone is off. Like a Blues Clues.
And he's going to interrupt me. My volume remains constant, while Victor's interruption
this
can be difficult
so dumb.
To understand.
Oh, my gosh, you guys. This is so dumb.
It's like Sesame Street.
It is like Sesame Street. The green lights mean that the candidate's microphone is on. Oh, I don't have green lights. That must mean my microphone is off, but why can you still hear me? Have they met Trump, too, by the way? Seriously, have you ever met him? I've known him for years. And he used, like I said, he used to come, I've said this before, he would come on my radio program all the time back when he was building stuff. And when he did that, what is it, that bank that turned into a hotel in New York City? And known him for a while, known Roger Stone for forever. I've known all these people forever. Trump is not a quiet person. I don't think he knows how to whisper. And I don't think he cares to whisper. I just don't think he cares. He's a loud person. He just projects his voice. Do you honestly think that you're not going to be able to hear him? Seriously? The only person that you're not going to be able to hear if he's muted is Joe Biden. And how much do you want to bet that they mess up the mute? And like, you know, Joe Biden's not muted, but Trump is. And then Joe can, you know, keep going. Yeah, see, you think it's going to happen.
That's a square on our bingo card.
Yep. The mute. But I'm just going to call it right now. That's the first card. That's the first thing that gets covered on bingo. I swear to you, that is the absolute first thing that's going to get covered on bingo. I really kind of want to cover it now, but I got to live by my own rules. I can't post. I can't do that. I can't play until it's like the debate's actually happening. Oh my gosh, you guys, I can't even deal with this. This is so crazy. So the debate, this is just wild.
You should put yourself on your mute button and Kane can scream at you. We see if we hear Kane and I can tell you.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do what CNN did. Yeah, that's a good idea. So I am currently talking on the microphone and my mute button is not depressed. Kane, however, his mute button is depressed. And he is talking into his microphone, but the microphone is not carrying his voice. Now let's switch it. I'm going to mute my microphone, and Kane is going to depress.
And now I'm going to talk, and then you may or may not be able to hear Dana in the background as she's talking, trying to interrupt me. It's kind of rude when you think about it, just the interruption part of it.
That's what Trump's going to do. He's going to yell. You know it. He's going to yell. What in the world? Oh my gosh. So it is on there. So if you don't have the debate bingo, there's a thread. All you subscribers to Substack have it. You also have the thread to Mark. That's the link that you go to when the debate kicks off. But we've got it all out there. We got not a joke. We got Trump brings up Hunter, overturned Roe, job more than a paycheck, China. We got make America great again. CNN brings up J6. The quote, threat to democracy, Scranton, election was rigged, mic mute malfunction, I want to cover that immediately, border invasion, the free space, convicted felon, tells Beau's story, Amtrak, come on, man, soul of this nation, here's the deal, ban assault weapons, crooked Joe, talk class at Penn, MAGA Republicans, price of McDonald's and vaccine saved lives. We're all going to die if this is a drinking game. You guys can't do this. I'm looking out for your health. So I'm just, you know, they're going to mess up the mute. CNN is so excited. Didn't they do the hologram? Remember when they did the holograms? That was weird. Why did they get this technology at CNN and they're like, we have no reason to use this. Let's use it at a debate. Like crazy stuff, right? Like we have no reason to use, we're going to use it now. But them talking about that reminded me of that scene from Big Top Pee Wee. Yeah, Pee Wee Herman movie. When he went and he was trying to find his bicycle and he went to the Alamo and Jan Hooks was there giving these Hispanic Americans a tour of the Alamo. Clearly, they could speak Spanish. And she was like, this woman's making an authentic Mexican tortilla. Can y'all say tortilla? And everyone just got mumbles, tortilla. I felt like that scene. I felt like CNN was Jan Hooks and they're explaining to us completely obvious things. This right here is a stage. This is what the candidates are going to come on. They're so excited. It's like a little kid showing you their new bedding. They're taking in. They got the new race car bed and they got the new cars bedding. They're like, look at this. Look at that. That's what they're doing right there. They're so excited about it. So you know, because they're that excited, something's going to get screwed up on Trump's side. You know it. Just saying. All right. So the debate this evening. Now, I think there may be a new nickname that makes a debut. Trump apparently teased a new nickname for Biden. He went on a rant saying that he, quote, can't hit a golf ball for 10 yards. So the Biden people came out with a Trump lies list, and the Trump people came out with a Biden lie list and making fun of his golf game. And he called him a lying machine. Now, that's not a nickname, guys. Now, this is not Trump making up and saying this is a new nickname. This is the media who's like, wait a minute, that sounds like a nickname. That's not a nickname. That is not, Crooked Joe is a nickname. Lying machine is just an adjective. That's not a nickname. Why do they do this all the time? It's not a nickname, but now they're like lying machine. I love this. Listen, Trump, an avid golfer who retreated to his Mar-a-Lago club after skipping Biden's inauguration in 2020, also rolled out a new nickname for Biden, quote, lying machine. That comes after repeatedly calling him crooked. Like, woo-hoo-hoo. Oh, my gosh.
Have they not learned by now that he actually puts the name of the person in the name, then the nickname?
Yeah, that's kind of how nicknames work.
Right.
It's not just like lying machine. It's, you know, right. Crooked Hillary, Crooked Joe. I just think Crooked's funny.
Sleepy Joe.
It's just funny. Like, who says crooked, right? It's funny. You know who says it? Old New Yorkers say it. Yeah. Crooked. It's such a New York thing. Oh, my gosh. So I wanted to, there's two stories I got to share with you. That get, oh, I know we're running up against headlights. Let me just lay it out on the table for you. Let's let it air. Let's let it aerate before we dive into it. So two things. This has to do with the Obamas. The first is Obama has anxiety over the election. And I've seen this a million times. And there's a lot of whispers that he does. He's got anxiety over the election. He's been holding secret meetings with Biden. Because part of this is he looks at this as a continued grade on his legacy. The second one is juicy. The second one concerns Michelle Obama. And apparently, Michelle Obama is not happy with the way that Kathleen Buell, Hunter Biden's ex-wife, has been treated. And she's close friends with Kathleen Buell. This apparently is why she has not been on the campaign trail for Joe Biden. And this came from a left-leaning outlet that doesn't usually mess with this stuff, especially if it's about the left. Ooh, I know. We're going to get into all of that here coming up. Debt can be an endless source of sleepless nights, trapping you with sky-high interest rates on credit cards and loans. But there's hope with Zero Debt USA, a path out of the debt trap. Visit zapmydebt.com and be sure to click on Dana Show in the How Did You Hear About Us box when you sign up. Zero Debt USA has new aggressive strategies that can end your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. And Zero Debt USA can cut or even eliminate interest. And they can also find programs to write off your balances so that you owe less. Zero Debt USA can do all of this without bankruptcy or a loan. Zero Debt USA offers professional support by a certified debt specialist, no upfront fees, and 24/7 access to all your account information through online client portal. Zero Debt USA will find every solution possible to end your debt permanently. Before you do anything, contact Zero Debt USA first and talk to them for free and find out how fast they can help get you out of debt. Visit zapmydebt.com. That's zapmydebt.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So I just learned that Gen Z and millennials are having a sock war. This is very important. Gen Z, the brats who said that skinny jeans were out, just because they don't look good on you doesn't mean they don't look good on others. And now they're saying that ankle socks are dumb, and they hate ankle socks, and that they think that those are dumb, and that millennials are the people who wear ankle socks, and now they have to, they're rebelling, and they just want to wear crew socks. And so now they're like fighting over it. That's a big thing. Why? Stop. You guys can't afford houses. Stop fighting over socks. Fight over the fact that y'all can't afford a house. Everybody's broke. You can't even afford avocado toast no more. Come on. Moving on. Apparently, today's teens are more content being single. Have you seen the social garbage out there? Have you seen everything that society... There's a big old blow up right now in the Star Wars universe because of some Marxist bee who made her super far left commie Jedi lesbians have force babies. I mean, yeah, people watch that and nobody wants to date because you may accidentally come up on a landmine. Nobody wants to deal with that. So this one survey says that, yes, they're actually content with being single longer. Honestly, I would totally be single if I was younger. There's no, if I was like coming of age in this, if I was a teenager in this society, there's no way I would be dating. No way. It would be, because so many people are insufferable because they're raised by their insufferable parents who were raised by their insufferable parents. The multivitamin myth. I think multivitamins are kind of dumb. I gotta be real. Just eat well, right? Sometimes if you want to take some magnesium, whatever, you want to take some extra vitamin D, whatever. But now the new survey says that studies are showing no benefit to long-term multivitamin usage. And of course, America's drinking water is facing attack. CNBC, with links back to China, Russia, and Iran. Water utilities, strings of attacks. Kansas, Texas, Pennsylvania, critical infrastructure. Of course, that's kind of... And I'll save this one for later, but two U.S. astronauts are totally stuck in space. It's like a horror film. They're stuck in space. We'll have more on that coming up. Stick with us. Gold Co. Precious Metals. And Gold Co. wants to make sure that you are protected. Your savings are protected. Your retirement is protected because... As we were just talking about, you know, the economy is no joke right now. And I, heaven forbid, we lose everything in November. You're going to be praying that you would have gotten some gold and silver when I was telling you about it. So they have a free 2024 wealth protection guide. And they want to set you up with all the facts about how precious metals can help you in the face of inflation and war and exploding national debt and bad election decisions and the whole nine yards. You could be eligible for up to 10% in instant match bonus silver, only while supplies last, though, so don't sleep on it. Now, Gold Co. has thousands of five-star reviews, perfect rating from the Better Business Bureau. They've helped people like you and me place over $2.5 billion in gold and silver, and they want to make sure you understand everything there is to understand about this, the economy of it, and how gold IRAs work. And it's very easy. It's very simple, their guide, their wealth protection guide, which you can get. No pressure. Visit DanaLikesGold.com. Get your free gold kit from Gold Co. Learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver and get your complimentary wealth protection kit. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
More voters think that Trump did a better job in office than Biden. Does that concern you?
It does. I do think that people have amnesia. And as I've been talking to communities across the country for the campaign, especially Latino communities,
so this is
I have
Veronica
reminded them.
Escobar. She is the campaign co-chair for the Biden folks. And guys, if you prefer Trump's term to Biden's term, it's because you're stupid. You have amnesia. You're too dumb to remember. What are you talking about? Just listen to them. How insulting is that? My gosh. This is why I could not be in politics. Good night. I mean, like, as a candidate or that's no way. What do you mean? They have amnesia. They're just dumb. B, have you gone out to buy butter? Have you gone out to buy, like, I don't know, anything? There was this dude on, as a video that's going around. I've noticed this too. Do you guys ever, like, if sometimes I'll have to do Instacart if I can't, like, go to the grocery store, if, like, things are crazy and I, you know, you got to get groceries or whatever. So, and also because I get distracted so easily, it takes me forever to go in the grocery store. Me in the grocery store is like Chris's worst nightmare. he will not take me to Costco. I love going to Costco. It just aggravates him to death because I'm like, shiny, shiny. I mean, I get distracted about everything. I'm like, look at this. There's a whole other thing. You know, and he just is, he can't. He's like, come on. Anyway, but if you set stuff up, like if you can go back and you can look at your previous orders. And I did, I think I was making an amatriciana. And there was like a couple of things they needed to get. And I just, there's a certain type of cheese I needed to get. I'm like, I don't have time to go to the store because I think I had like a TV hit. I think I had a Fox thing coming up and I was getting stuff done for radio the next day. And it was just real busy. And I didn't have enough time to do it. So I was ordering stuff on Instacart. Well, then later on, it was like some other day where I realized that I needed some stuff and we were going to throw together like a quick meal. And I just was going to let the sauce go on the stove. And ordered the same thing, right? I did notice that my order previously, and there were no new ingredients, no new anything, was significantly higher than what my previous order that I had set had been. And all I hit was reorder. And there's this dude, this viral video going around, and he will like, apparently he just rotates his grocery lists. And he hit reorder on one and he noticed it was like twice as much. It was a grocery list that he had from like a year ago. And it was almost twice more than what he had paid for it originally. No new anything. No new anything. Just all the prices have gone up. So when you go to the store and you're noting yourself that holy cow, my dollar is so not going as far as it did. And then you hear people like his Biden's campaign co-chair go, well, people prefer Trump's third term because they have amnesia. No, it's because they're broke. It's because Biden made them broke. That is just, there is a disconnect and they don't realize how offensive it is to continue to deny the economic pain that is felt by millions of people across this country. It does not help your campaign to deny it. It makes your campaign look like you are out of touch. It makes you all look like you are out of touch, like you are the limousine liberals. That is what you look like. You cannot lie to people about how much they're paying in their bills. It looks so bad. I don't know who keeps telling them to do this. You know, your response should be solution, solution, solution. But see, they don't want to do that. They don't want to do it, number one, because then they feel like they have to take ownership of the consequences that their policies have created. I mean, there's a way to do it without having to do that, you know, if you really wanted to be very sweet, you know, very spin about it. But they don't even want to come close to accepting any kind of responsibility. The closest that they will come to it is somehow blaming Trump. My biggest complaint with Trump's economic policy was that he didn't make the tax cuts for layman's terms, non-business tax cuts permanent. Business tax cuts are great because it helps lower costs, it helps lower overhead, it helps create more benefits, people can create more jobs. Because I tell you, businesses that want to expand, they're not going to sit here and hoard their money. They're going to expand and they're going to hire people and they're going to build infrastructure. That's what they want to do. Just with our radio program here, we need desperately to expand our studio and we were on track to do it. And then Biden got in office. Everything went crazy. Our cost estimate for our studio expansion doubled. You guys would die if you knew the latest quote. You would die. Any kind of it, all, everything increased. Everything increased. Labor increased. Everything increased. So when you're wanting to expand, and this is how most businesses, expansion brings more revenue. You're able to do more. You're able to generate more. People want to expand. They want to hire. They want to have greater benefits. They want to do more things. They're not, this idea of big supermarket or big whatever is a dumb idea that is held by people who have barely ever had to make their own money. They have never run a business. They have never had to make payroll. They have never been the first in and the last to leave. They have no idea about the economy. And those people are the ones that drive us into economic hell because they're economically illiterate. And when they say stuff like this, I'm like, you dumbass. Nothing gets me angrier. I turn into my mother when I get mad about this. When you start talking to me about taxes and money and big this and big that, I get rage-tastic. When you start talking about Social Security, veins in my mom's face pop out and she starts twitching. She turns into like a goblin. It's terrifying. She's just real mad about that. Golly. And anytime a politician's talking about Social Security, she cues in like she's judging your soul. What's he going to say about it? She's a terrifying person. Put her in a front row of a debate. Jiminy Christmas. I should tell you a story about the first time she met my husband. How terrifying this woman is. Let me tell you a story.
Yeah.
You want to know this?
Yeah.
Sidebar. Go on a little trip with me. First time my mother met my husband. My husband has very dry humor, and most of the time you have no idea he's joking, and it can be very uncomfortable sometimes. Correct, Kane?
Yeah. It's actually fun.
Yeah.
I don't think once I've ever been uncomfortable.
So my mom likes true crime stuff, right? I mean, she likes watching about how people kill people and then dispose of the bodies. I don't know. So bring him to meet her. And my mother is filing her nails. My mother does not use what they call an emery board. She uses a prison shank. All right. It is a metal nail file. It is terrifying. And that's what she uses to file her nails. And she's got these like Benjamin Franklin spectacles, right? And she looks like an eagle. So she's sitting there watching this. We're making small talk and she's filing her nails, you know, and some kind of grisly murder mystery is playing. She's filing her nails with her prison shank. My husband's sitting on the sofa next to me. And I just made the remark. I'm like, I can't imagine somebody would get, I just don't know how somebody gets so addicted to something that you know, you turn your back like on your loved ones like that, or you endanger the lives of your loved ones or something. And Chris, just totally straight face, just as dead as could be. He's like, yeah. You know, addiction's no joke, Dana. You know, we've talked about it. I've been clean and sober for 6 months now. And, you know, it's very difficult. It's very difficult to free yourself from that. And my mom stopped mid-file. It was like a movie. And her glasses slid all the way down her face. And I'm watching this in slow motion like, oh my gosh, he's going to die. That was literally my thought, because if anybody would have ever have stabbed anybody with a prison shank nail file over a comment about a true crime series, hands to sky, and I'm not exaggerating, it would have been her. And I look at him, I was like, oh my gosh, tell her you're joking. And he looks at me, still just dead on. He's like, Dana, addiction's no joke. I'm like, oh my God, you deserve it now. Oh my gosh, you deserve it. And she was still frozen like that, looking right at him. And I look at him, I go, I don't think you realize how close you are to having your major artery severed by that prison shank she's using. And then they had like a stare off for a second. It was weird. And then he starts laughing. He goes, I'm just joking. Ha ha ha. And she waited a beat. And then she started, because she laughs like Squidward. And then she started laughing. Rah, 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 rah. And then she liked him. And that was it. I almost did not marry him because he almost killed himself. That's like suicide by cop. It was suicide by Nana. Why the hell did I tell that story, Kane? Where did that come from? Oh, yeah. She got mad over the Social Security. You talk to her about Social Security, you got to get sharp objects away from her. Because she's like, the government stole our money. And she says horrible things about Al Gore and his promise of a lockbox. And she gets super mad about it. You know.
Rightfully so.
She was so... I never asked her how she's... I don't know how she votes. I think she votes conservative. She used to not. But you don't ask her... I remember one time in junior high, I asked her... It was for a class assignment. And the teacher was asking people, you know, maybe ask your parents about how they voted, et cetera. And I asked my mom, and she looked at me like I was a redcoat and I was getting ready to like storm her barn for a cannon. And she got so mad at me and she was like, people died to not tell that info. I'm like, I'm your child. They just, my history teacher asked. I'm sorry. Gosh. Do I make more sense to you guys now? Does it make more sense? I think so. Yeah. So I think she's watched. I asked her, she was watching this debate. I can't tell you what she said. I will get fined, dude. We'll get fined. And, you know, we're already like, you know, in danger right now with the Soros stuff. So, you know, I'm in danger. I'm not going to say what she said. Let's just say it with some pretty fancy words. So the debate this evening, we're going to see. Now, Steve had said you still think, Steve, that the VP for the Trump side of things, that's going to leak out, you think, before the debate?
Well, once they, you know, every debate, they always have like a dress rehearsal where they have like a live shot of a webcam and they're just standing there awkwardly like testing audio.
Yeah.
It's like someone has to find, there's some producer back there that's going to say something. That's what I'm thinking.
Mm. You know, people are going to be scouring, looking for something. Someone in the Trump camp, please take video of Joe shuffling around. That's all I'm asking. Here's another question. Do you all think Hunter will be there? You know, Jill will. Yeah. Will Hunter?
Newsom will be there too.
You think Gavin Newsom will? But I don't know if Gavin Newsom will unless he comes in, sneaks in under somebody's coat or something. Because I feel like the Joe Bidens are a little... And remember, he's not in the Obama camp. Gavin Newsom is not part of the Obama camp. I don't know. We'll see. We got a lot still to hit. Oh my gosh, do we ever. Let me just give you a rundown. We got some Supreme Court. We got some decisions out. They're actually going to be rolling into. Remember how I said they said that their term was going to end this week. It's not. They're rolling into next week. That's kind of unusual, right? For it to take so long to come out with this stuff. I wonder why. We're going to discuss that. The Hawk Tua girl is in talks with a Hollywood talent agency after going viral. And this is why our society sucks out loud. This is why aliens don't visit us. This is why I'm waiting for the asteroid. Good grief. So we've got that. The trans policy for kids from Biden. We're going to get into all of that. We got a lot of stuff to hit still. Maybe you've come across this if you had to go and get a prescription filled. You know, maybe it takes a really long time to get it filled, or maybe you're told by the pharmacy they don't have that in stock right now. You don't ever want to be without a medication that you need to get better. So do what I did and take control of your family's health with a medical emergency kit from the doctors at The Wellness Company. Now, this is not a first aid kit, right? The kit is filled with essential doctor prescriptions that treat over 39 different medical issues. They have strong antibiotics for infections of all types, including pneumonia, strep throat, ear infections, all kinds of sinusitis, like sinus infections like I always get. It's like having a little urgent care without the $75 copay right at your house. And you don't have to wait to see a doctor. You don't have to wait in a waiting room. And everybody knows that's like one of the sickest places to be. You don't have to wait at a pharmacy. Every home should have at least one of these medical emergency kits. And they put it all together in your little kit. They pack it all up and they ship it directly to you. I've used it myself. I've used it several times myself. I ended up getting a sinus infection that turned into strep throat. And I could not, from the airport, traveling, doing everything that I could do. And then, of course, my doctor's office is closed. I did not want to have to go and wait into urgent care. I was too sick. And I remembered I had my medicines. I went in, I took my medicines, and I was literally, and Kane remembers, I was like back on the road to better health. And I was able to actually do my job and be on air the next day, which is incredibly important for, you know, what I do. You can actually visit twc.health. That's TWC for The Wellness Company, .health/Dana, and use promo code Dana, and that'll save you 15%. It's super easy. It's all online. It takes like 3 minutes. So visit twc.health/Dana and enter code Dana, and that promo code Dana, that gets you 15% off. Again, that's twc.health/Dana.
Congrats, you owe $100,000. As the national debt topples $35 trillion, every American now owes over $100,000 to our national debt. And nobody running for president has plans to cut spending. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
For instance, Joe Biden, as a child, stuttered badly, worked very hard to overcome stuttering. But you don't overcome that 100%. And very often, when he rushes a word out in order to get said what he wants said, people see that as some sign of some gaffe or something of that sort. And that resonates with some people. They don't seem to give people benefit of what may visit their own homes and their own circumstances.
James Clyburn is starting to go past his expiration date on spin. That's dumb. You know, like when Biden lies about how many ways his son was kicked the bucket. You know, that's a stutter. When he lies about this stuff and plagiarizes, that's a stutter. That's what it is. It's a stutter. Stop it. When he forgets where he is, it's a stutter. When he forgets that the person he's talking about is dead, no longer there, it's a stutter.
Stutter's
stop it.
Doing a lot of heavy lifting.
I don't think Clyburn knows what a stutter is. By the way, the only reason that Biden is even president in the first place is because of James Clyburn. Democrats should build a statue of James Clyburn in their headquarters. I mean, he should be president of all their things because James Clyburn saved Joe Biden's political life. Remember during the primary when they were rolling in to South Carolina, going into the Carolinas. This is after they went in after Pennsylvania. Biden was struggling. He was losing primaries and caucuses. I wrote a big thing about this at the time, and when this happened, we talked about it quite a bit on air. But he was rolling it. He basically, in order for Biden to be the nominee, he couldn't just come in second place. He had to win South Carolina, and he wasn't going to do it. And James Clyburn went out and saved it for him. And he made Joe Biden the candidate. He made him the candidate. And then he went out and helped him in the general. James Clyburn, I don't know what deals were made, but Joe Biden would not be president of the United States were it not for James Clyburn. But this spin is stupid. It's not a stutter, dude. It's not a stutter. When you fall down on a flat surface, that has nothing to do with a stutter. When you're lying about your son's demise, that's not a stutter. When you're weaponizing federal agencies, that's not a stutter. When you're making money off of communist China, that's not a stutter. So stop it. That's dumb. And it insults people who actually have stutters, an issue with stuttering. It's dumb. Stop it. And not everything makes you a victim. I hate this thing. Like, oh, because I have one thing that I'm dealing with here, that means you can't criticize me on everything else. Shut up. Yes, you absolutely can. So asinine. But you're right. That word is doing some heavy lifting. And the Obamas, it's interesting because Obama does just enough. But I think he also, remember, they think that Biden's real dumb. And Michelle Obama's mad because she was apparently very good friends with Kathleen Buell. Very good friends with Kathleen Buell. The story's out on Axios that's discussing why it is that Michelle Obama hasn't been seen campaigning for Joe Biden. And the reason being is because she's privately, according to Axios, expressed frustration over how the Bidens exiled her friend, her close friend, Kathleen Buell, Hunter Biden's ex-wife. And that's why she hasn't, a big reason why she hasn't campaigned for Biden. And she resisted doing so in 2020. And they've got a lot of sources on this. This is very interesting. She was very upset with them on this. And they said that this tension has driven this division. And that's when the last time he weighed his presidential run in 2020, Obama didn't encourage it because Michelle Biden was mad over how that family was treating Kathleen Buell. Ooh, boy, some craziness. So there's a lot of drama there. We got a lot more on the way, including culture and pronouns and airplanes and all kinds of stuff. Stick with us. More of The Dana Show back after this. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, "I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that what I can while encouraging self-defense at the same time." So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
But we have to make sure that the voters know. And one thing they will know is the difference between Joe Biden and the former president of the United States. If the other guy wins, there will be no question, there'll be a national abortion ban in our country.
First off, that's where Trump has gotten a lot of criticism because he hasn't supported anything like that. And some people who are, if their issue is like, which I think everybody is on the side of life, but there are some people who make that's their main issue over like Second Amendment or anything else. They've been mad at him because they didn't think he went far enough. You can't have it both ways, guys. First off, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, top of the second hour. And we're previewing the debate. Going to be crazy. And that was Nancy Pelosi just trying to throw stuff out there to see what sticks. They're just mad because it's not a federal issue anymore. It reverted back to the states, which is what it should always be. And you can sit here and try to argue that it's a right to use abortion as birth control upon demand, taxpayer funded, but that doesn't make it a right just because you're trying to classify it that way any more than it makes it a right for me to say it should be a right for me to have free ammunition. It's not the same. So again, welcome back. You can find us on everywhere. You can find us on Channel 347, DirecTV, and all kinds of stuff. So a lot of things happening. I saw this tweet. I wanted to throw this up here. This is from over at Real Clear Investigations, Paul Sperry. Now, I don't know where he's getting this information. I don't know. I just wanted to put, you guys know I don't like to get into hyperbole with some of the stuff, with this stuff. And I don't like, I don't like conspiracy theory speculation, unlike Kane. It's his favorite thing to do. Kane doesn't gossip. He's a conspiracy theorist. Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's not the same thing. So I saw this because, you know, we were talking last hour. What obviously, you know, Biden's going to get a drip of something. We're not, that's not mean to gossip. It's not gossip. It's we're observing fact. I mean, I've seen him speak in person at the State of the Union. Dude was really not well. My eyes don't lie. This from Paul Sperry. He says the White House press corps has petitioned CNN to open up the debate studio to reporters who, for now, have to watch a feed from a building across the street because they believe there may be a, quote, medical emergency, unquote, involving one of the candidates requiring on-scene coverage. Now, I don't know where this is coming from. Paul Sperry, he's with Real Clear Investigations, and they're pretty reputable. I haven't seen anything else about it. So I don't know. It's very, you know, I'm just not quite sure. It's very interesting. Where is this coming from, right? Have you seen this anywhere else? Kane, have you seen it anywhere else? I haven't seen this anywhere else.
I'm looking. I've seen people retweet what Paul Sperry has been saying, but I have not seen any other sourcing.
I want to ask a couple of people. I've messaged a couple of people that I know. Now, where the debate is, and I used to work there when I was the token conservative, and this was around 2010, 11, 12, going into 13 with CNN. And we did all of the caucuses and primaries and the debates. There was at all the debates for a couple of different cycles. And the headquarters in CNN, which is where the debate is going to be, is, I cannot understate this enough, the largest media facility I've ever seen in my life. And I've been at ABC in New York. I've been at every single one of the bureaus in DC. I've been at ABC, NBC. I've been at all of them in New York. CNN is, I mean, it is a complex. It's like it's as big as an airport. It is, I am not joking. It is crazy. I used to have to go into this like atrium that was this multi-story huge thing. And it looked like you were at this outdoor place in the middle of high rises and, you know, to go and get my lunch. And then when I was there covering some of the caucus and primary stuff during the day. And when we were waiting for craft services catering to come in, it's a huge facility and they have so many different rooms, so many different studios, auditoriums. So it's really easy to host something like that there. And I always thought it was weird when Sperry said that everybody else has to be in a building across the street because CNN has more than enough capability to host really the world's dispatched media to cover that debate. But maybe they're flexing because they're hosting it and they just don't want to have them in. So I mean, it's a huge facility. And again, I don't know how serious that is. I don't know. But I will say, and Kane, you made that. What was the observation that you made about pumping them full of all these drugs?
Yeah, like I can imagine them thinking, well, we've never done that. We never put so many drugs inside an 80-year-old. Not really sure what is going to happen. So there may be a medical emergency. Like
maybe. Or are they teeing it up to get him out of something?
Right.
I have to be honest with you. There's like, I don't know how many, what the percentage it is of it, but there's a little percentage of me that's like, this debate ain't happening. If I'm being real, do you have that feeling? Tell me, guys, I'm not the only one that has this feeling, right?
Well, I had that feeling first when this was, I don't know, a week and a half ago when they were saying, you know, what are the chances Trump's probably not even going to show up to this thing? Trump's not going to show. And as soon as I heard all of that, I knew that there was something, at least some sort of seed being planted as a narrative. And you may be right. This is looking like that could be the case.
Yeah. It's very interesting. But it said, yeah, the White House press correspondents, they're formally petitioning CNN to open up the debate studio for on-scene coverage because you have to view the feed. So this is a couple of other people that are a couple of other reporters that are mentioning this. So, but still, there's just a couple. Interesting. So we'll keep an eye on it, but I don't know. Steve, do you just feel like there's maybe, I don't know, like a little small percentage of you that feels like, oh, this debate's not going to happen?
It would be like, I don't know. Not really. It's going to happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if, like, tomorrow if Biden performs poorly, they'll be like, well, it was because of this variable that's independent of something else. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Ooh, this is just, it's going to be very interesting, gotta say. Very interesting. So we're going to follow all of this, but I mean, it is, could be something that, you know, he's pumped so full of something that, you know, I don't know. But at the same time, I don't, and I think Lorraine made a good point. We kind of touched on this the other day. These rules, I actually don't think that I do believe that the Biden administration didn't necessarily want to do the debate. Because when I was on with Jesse Waters, there was something that he said that made me think about this. He goes, yeah, well, they, you know, the Biden campaign, they came out with these, they wanted to do it, you know, there was a debate was proposed and the Biden campaign, so they were going to have all these rules with it. And then he said that the Trump campaign said yes too quickly. And then he said yes, apparently before the Biden campaign came out with their rules. But the Biden campaign, apparently by the time that they sent CNN their rules, they hadn't fully realized that, or hadn't been fully reported yet, that Trump had already accepted. And the way that Jesse viewed it was, oh, wow, Trump kind of got himself into a mess here because they accepted the debate and these rules were too restrictive. I don't know if I think that's what it was. I was thinking about this at the time. I think that, and Lorraine brought this point up, I think that Biden, his people anyway, Biden doesn't want to do it. Biden does not do well at debates. He's never done well at debates historically. And even if you look back at the multiple times that he's run for president, even during the primaries through the years, he's not done well. His people thought, well, if we put out these rules that are so restrictive, like they can't have prepared notes, but they can make notes on a provided for pad on the debate. They can't sit. They can't have notes. They can't talk to their campaign people on commercial break. They can't go and huddle with their campaign on commercial break. Kind of interesting. It seems as though it's 90 minutes. They can't interact with their staff. It's almost like the rules are so purposefully restrictive that Biden's people believe that Trump wouldn't accept it due to the restricted nature of, you know, their caveats. But then they're like, oh my gosh, he accepted it. And I think that's why Trump did accept it. Like, yeah, screw it. I'm accepting it. I mean, Joe Biden comes into this at much more of a disadvantage. I mean, Trump not having an audience, as I've said, is his biggest disadvantage. And I said this the other day. That's his biggest disadvantage. Biden has many. He can't keep his thoughts consistent and coherent. He runs out of energy. He is easy to manipulate, especially now. He can get real worked up and get really mad. And it's very, very difficult for him to keep focus. So I don't know. That's why I'm saying I think that there's like a percentage of me that feels like something is going to emerge from the Biden camp. Oh, we can't do this debate. I won't be shocked. I'm not 50%. I'm not either way. There's like a small percentage. I wouldn't be shocked. And there's also all of this drama that's happening behind the scenes, too. As I was telling you, just right before we went to break last hour, Michelle Obama did not want to campaign for Biden. She is not getting along with that family right now because Kathleen Buell, Hunter Biden's ex-wife, is her close friend. I don't know if you guys remember this, but there have been stories before when Obama was in the White House. It was Michelle Obama didn't really hang out with Jill Biden. And I remember there being a couple of stories at the time. And I found some stuff that's been memory holed on the Wayback Machine. But she would actually meet and talk with Kathleen Buell, Hunter Biden's ex-wife, then wife at the time. She would hang out with him. And some people are like, well, shouldn't she, you know, the first lady and second lady, shouldn't they be hanging out together? And she didn't really want to hang out with the Bidens. Because remember, the Bidens, I think that was kind of a deal, a compromise that Obama made for his ticket. I don't even think he gave a thought about his VP. But I think the old school, more establishment types are like, I put Biden on. It's his turn. He's older. You know, we can present him as the statesman with this foreign policy experience, which was such a lie. And then they kind of had to accept it, despite the fact that Joe Biden is an absolute jackwagon. And he's just going off the fumes of him being a jackass all these years. Honestly, that's what's got him this far. It's not that he has merit. It's not that he has a body of work that supports him. It's that he's been so ignorant. That's how he's coasted through all this stuff. And now they're like, oh, go ahead. We don't have anybody else to step up because they did not promote people in their party. Democrats have gotten really bad at that. So I think they made this deal and they got Biden. Michelle Obama she did not promote him in 2020. If you remember when the Obamas went out, she was like reluctantly going with Barack Obama kind of on his arm at events. She didn't speak. She didn't do fundraisers by herself. She's fundraised for Kamala by herself. She's fundraised for other Democrats. She's gone out with like the wives of other Democrats to fundraise for certain candidates. She has not done a damn thing for the Bidens because she's livid over Kathleen Buell. That's what this Axios piece is about. So in addition to all this stuff with the debate, you got all of this stuff happening back channel. And everybody's kind of looking to Barack Obama like, okay, you were the guy. Fix it. Because you can't have Chuck Schumer fix it. He's looked at as being too toxic. Nancy Pelosi's looked at as being too toxic. I think they got Clyburn involved in there, but that's it. And now the other story is Barack Obama has anxiety over all this, is the other headline. He's been holding secret meetings. They're trying to strategize. They're freaking out. I don't even know what their debate prep is like. Can you imagine? We have a lot more to come. We got headlines on the way as we roll towards the bottom of the second hour. Our partners over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. Patriot Mobile wants to save you money, and they don't put your hard-earned dollars towards the things that you vote against at the ballot box like others do. Now, with Patriot Mobile, not only do they, like I said, they support the same values that you hold, but you're also going to be spending less money. I don't know why some of these other cell phone companies charge as much as they do. But when I switched to Patriot Mobile and I got like the Cadillac plan, I'm telling you, I paid so much less with Patriot Mobile, even in this Biden economy, paying a lot less with Patriot Mobile. And additionally, you're supporting US-based jobs. They have a 100% US-based staff and they make it so easy to switch. And you get the same great service without funding the left. They have reliable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. And you can also get free activation using code Dana. So make the switch today. What are you waiting for? Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make that switch today. patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This is a Law and Order story real quick coming out of New York. So there's a 58-year-old woman. This has happened yesterday, apparently. She was ambushed by several baseball bat wielding attackers in broad daylight. And it was all caught on surveillance footage. They came up behind her. She looked like she was going to work. She's looking at her phone, always be aware. And they hit her in the back of the head. They came up behind her, punched her in the back of the head, and then began hitting her with a bat. They tried to steal her purse. She managed to fend them off, I think only because her arm was in it. And they had her on the ground, hitting her with the bat. And at that point, you can't figure out how to do nothing. And nobody's been arrested yet. They're still on the run. But that's absolutely terrifying. Also in New York, this criminal thug robs a 10-year-old boy as he's walking along on a Brooklyn sidewalk with his little sister in broad daylight. This took place Friday at 11 a.m. in Crown Heights. And he was walking with his 7-year-old sister. This dude grabbed the boy's hand, robbed him of his pockets, and then left. Took his money. That's horrible. What in the world, New York? Come on. Golly. One thing after another. Also, this Turkish illegal immigrant arrested after raping a 15-year-old girl in his car in Albany. He forced her into his car, forced her into the back seat because he was threatening her to beat her to death with a metal pole. Sakira Akan, 21, is accused of attacking her. in the early hours. This is coming from the New York Post. He apparently pulled up in his Toyota Prius and told her to get in the car. He beat her to death. And then when he got her in the car, he raped her in the back seat. He was arrested, slapped with a first degree rape charge. And he's not a U.S. citizen. And apparently he was already deported once. This is according to U.S. Border Patrol agents. And then he came in again in November of last year through San Diego. Notice how a lot of these perpetrators who came into the country illegally, they've all come in through California recently, right? Oh, wow. Trust in the media is eroding. Can it erode anymore? It's a new poll coming out from MSN. Can it really erode anymore? I don't think so. Yeah. The petrodollar, though. The dollar soars to new high as the Fed diverges from major peers. But let's talk about the petrodollar, though, and what that the effect that that's going to have now. That's all, now that every currency is up on the table. A new organ discovered in the human throat that lubricates an area behind the nose was accidentally found by researchers studying prostate cancer. They're studying prostate cancer, and they found, I'm just saying, they said it's a tubereal saliva gland. It's interesting. Stick with us. Turbocharging your metabolism has never been simpler thanks to the innovative handheld metabolic coach Lumen. This revolutionary device empowers you to optimize your metabolism efficiently and effortlessly. And with Lumen, you can master the strategies to keep your metabolism humming at its best. Now, Lumen is a breath-based metabolic tracker. You breathe into the Lumen at the start of your day to get a metabolism snapshot and a personalized nutrition plan. And then the app tells you if you're burning fat or carbs. You can get customized tips for nutrition, workouts, sleep, stress. Lumen helps you to know with real data what your body needs. Now, your metabolism is your body's rocket engine. It powers everything that you do. And with Lumen, you can expect easier weight management, balanced energy, fitness gains, and find it easier to go to sleep. So if you want to take the next step in improving your health, visit lumen.me/Dana Show and get 15% off of your Lumen. That's lumen.me/Dana Show. One word for 15% off your purchase. That's lumen.me/Dana Show. And thanks to Lumen for sponsoring this episode.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What do you think about Taylor Swift? One of the most famous people right now.
Yeah, I think she's beautiful. Uh-huh. Very beautiful. I find her very beautiful. Uh-huh. I think she's liberal. She probably doesn't like Trump. But I hear she's very talented. But I think she's very, very beautiful, actually. Unusually beautiful.
Has Travis got some competition? I don't know. This one, she's super liberal. She's like mega prog. I don't mind celebrities having their own politics. It's when they start lecturing to you, because these people, these performers, they're successful based on the people who like what they do. And you don't have to forfeit your opinions, but don't be a jerk about it and be informed about it. Because when you're not informed and you're out there lecturing to other people about it, and other people, especially if those people are informed, it sort of suggests a self-aggrandizement that is grating, and it makes you seem like kind of like a user. I don't know. That's just kind of my take on it. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lesh here with you, bottom of this second hour. That was how did they even get on that? How was that even a question that's asked? What do you think of Taylor Swift? She's like, seriously, you're asking that question?
What do you think of Taylor Swift? What do you think of her?
Yeah, because he listens. Come on. He listens to Taylor Swift. Seriously, come on. But I do think that's funny. How much you want to bet she writes a song about it? Bets? Takers? Don't forget, go to, if you're not a subscriber, we have our subscriber event tonight. Your participation in our live chat that we're doing for debate night. The debate, as you know, kicks off 9 p.m. Eastern. 8 Central, lasts for 90 minutes. And I have some stuff with Fox pre-debate. And then afterwards, I'm going to be hopping in there, hopping into that debate chat. And then we'll be watching the debate. And now everybody's talking about doing like shots and stuff. And Vegas Larry, he already tweeted, X'd a photo of his setup. And I'm like, y'all gonna die because, like, what we don't have any rules. We have to be strict about the rules or everybody's gonna die, right? True. I mean, we got our bingo card too. If you haven't checked out the bingo card, that's also happening. We got our Dana Show debate bingo card. And I mean, we only have so many spaces, and we thought of everything that would actually be hit. Someone had asked me, what happens if I cover the entire thing? Well, then you're super bingo master. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. We're not giving out prizes. It's a Bidenflation.
Well, if one person's able to do it, I think everybody would be able to do it.
If we hit a coverall, I need a raise. Cause that.
we got to do. Yeah, exactly. Steve made this. So and thank you, Steve, for making it. We got your free space. You've got your soul of this nation. Scranton. My favorite, though, is the mic mute malfunction.
Yeah.
And I called that first hour today. I was like, you know what's going to happen? They're going to mess it up. Can we get that video again? I'm sorry. I am all about this video. CNN apparently just learned how to turn things off and on. And they put lights on the podiums so that candidates know when their mic is off or on. I'm like, you kind of know if you're on it, if it's off or on. And I would imagine that they're all going to have, I think they'll all have an in-ear monitor like I have for radio so I can hear my audio and all that stuff. You have to be able to hear control room in that. So they will have an in-ear monitor so that they can hear the control room, they can hear producers, because if they have commercial breaks, you have to have this. You're going to have it because what if they're up against a hard break, meaning, you know, they've got to dump out of that live broadcast at a certain time or the ads have to kick in and they'll have to have somebody in their ear, rap. I don't think anybody's going to be giving them answers because especially if they're in that control room, I would imagine me speculating. I think you're probably going to have someone from both the Trump camp and the Biden camp in the control room. So I don't think they're going to be feeding anybody answers. And that's really the only way to feed that through because that's just how it's all why. And I worked at CNN before as the token conservative some years before. And I know where that each studio has their own control room, but I've been in every studio that they have. So they'll each have an in-ear monitor so that they can hear. So especially if there's audio played, because when you're up on that stage, it's really hard to hear that audio. You're going to have your in-ear monitor play that for you. So they'll have that. But you got to show, this is CNN being very excited about their lights on the podium. Watch.
If we go behind the podiums, you can see two green lights.
Look at that.
When they're on, they signal to the candidate his microphone is on. Wow. When the green lights are off, they signal to the candidate his microphone is off. Now I want to give you a sense of what it will look like for viewers at home if a candidate whose microphone is off interrupts a candidate whose microphone is on. So I'm standing at one podium, and I'll ask Phil to come in and take the other podium. And so let's say I'm answering a question. My light is green, and I'm speaking. Phil's microphone is off, and his green lights are not illuminated. He's going to interrupt me as I'm speaking, and this is what it will sound like. My volume remains constant, while Phil's interruption can be difficult to understand.
Now, let's try the opposite. My microphone is now on. Victor's microphone is off. And he's going
to
interrupt
me.
My volume remains constant while Victor's interrupting.
Sesame Street. That's what this feels like, doesn't it? It does like that. It's the debate Sesame Street. I hope this isn't going out on air because they'll totally ding us. But it's the debate Sesame Street. To where the air is. Can't hit that high note. I'm an alto. Yeah, that's what it's like. I'm watching people explain, like, it's like a kiddie show, isn't it? Isn't it like a kiddie show? Now, look what happens when the green light isn't illuminated. And they're shocked by that. Again, CNN does all this stuff that they don't need to do for debate. Like when they had the let me pull this up. Remember when they did the CNN hologram?
Hey, old people and babies have a lot in common.
Yeah. When they did this, they had this debate. And they had a hologram, debate night, doctor holograms, all kinds of. I mean, this was weird that they had this, and yeah, that they used this at the debate. They had and they also used it for election night coverage too. So what they would do is like when they were leading up to the debate, and you would have Wolf Blitzer on stage, and then he would throw it to like a. Normally, it would be someone who is in a different spot, reporting from a different spot, and then they would just do like a two-camera thing in the monitor. But they made her, they made them like holograms. So Wolf Blitzer's on the debate station. He turns and it's like, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi from Star Wars hologramming it up. It was just weird. It's like they do stuff like, we don't need to do this, but we're gonna because we have the technology. Just bizarre. All right. So we've been talking about all of the stuff that you can expect. 90 minutes, no prepared notes. They can't interact with their staff on commercial break. Jake Tapper and Dana Bash are moderating it. It's, they think it's going to be the most watched presidential debate of some time. And it's going to be very, it'll be very interesting. Now, in the meantime, you also had, let me pull this up because it's SCOTUS season. And you've have, I think the presidential immunity didn't come out. That's not, that actually has not been released. They said that they're going to roll into next week now. This term was supposed to end. It was actually supposed to end tomorrow. But they've come out with, they have the Idaho abortion ruling. That was the draft opinion that came out about, was it yesterday? It was like accidentally posted by someone in the court, the draft opinion, and then it was immediately taken out. And this is about making sure that hospitals are going, that they're passing by this federal restriction that we talked about yesterday that supplants the state law. So that's what it is. It's not so much a decision on the practice of abortion. Looking at the opinion, it's the Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act, EMTALA, that requires Medicare-funded hospitals to provide essential care to patients experiencing medical emergencies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So because Idaho state law already provides, it already makes out exceptions for the life of the mother, rape, incest, all that stuff. So this is about this federal restriction abiding by it above state law. So that's what this case is. And their term goes into next week. Monday's been added to their calendar as a decision day. I don't know if that's the last day, though. I'm not sure if that's the last day or not. That's something that we'll have to we'll know when we get there. We'll know when we get to Monday. So I just hope that it's just odd that they're kind of dragging it out like this much. It seems like it's taking a lot longer for them to come out with these decisions. So they also have this SEC case. That came from, all of that kicked off way, way back in like 2009, 2010 with the Dodd-Frank stuff. And that's when federal regulators, they had their authority expanded when they were looking at civil fraud complaints, et cetera, et cetera. So there was a case that was under this, these civil penalties, et cetera. Basically due process has been protected. The immunity thing, that decision has not come out, and that's the one everybody's really waiting for, is a presidential immunity case. Could be tomorrow, could be Monday. We don't know. Ready wise, they want to make sure you're always ready, always prepared. And you don't need a disaster to prepare, right? I mean, by the time the disaster happens, if you're preparing, then it's just too late and you didn't serve yourself at all. And you got to think about this. The stores, they go bare pretty quick. It's stressful. Unreliable services. You got supply chain disruptions. Always have access to top quality food whenever you need it and order from ReadyWise.com. You can use promo code Dana20 to get 20% off any regularly priced item at ReadyWise.com. And you never have to worry about how you're going to eat, what you're going to feed your family. And not only is this all made with high quality U.S. ingredients, but it's packed in their state-of-the-art U.S.-based plant. So from start to finish, it's U.S. food coming at you from a U.S. plant. You know where your food is coming from. Freeze-dried, dehydrated, no refrigeration required, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life. The time to prepare is now. Visit ReadyWise.com. Use code Dana20 and save 20% off of any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, code Dana20.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Oh my gosh, this is a real actual headline. A Florida man was arrested after his 15-month-old daughter ate his freshly rolled joint, say deputies.
Oh, my.
Yeah. What in the world? This was in Bonnell, Florida. His 15-month-old daughter, Florida man, was arrested. She had to be hospitalized. Apparently she ate the whole thing.
Hospitalized?
They said she was hospitalized. I don't know.
What else was in that joint?
I don't know. Like, what else did he put in there? It could have just been marijuana if she'd go to the hospital, I think. The man reported to police that his niece's child was visiting her father at his home and had to be taken to a local hospital. The house was in complete disarray. There was dog feces and urine all over the floor, garbage throughout, nails in the floor, air conditioning wasn't working.
I'd say that's worse than the weed.
Yeah. I'm immediately like, screw the weed right now. There's no AC in this house, and it's Florida, and it's June. They said Spiegelhalter, that's his name, Cody Spiegelhalter, he was at home. He had rolled a joint for himself, put it down, went to use the restroom, and that's when his 15-month-old daughter grabbed it and ate it. And then they said that there was, now here's why I think that there was mushrooms, and they said THC wax. I don't know what that does in plain view.
Really?
Yeah, so he had like shrooms in that in plain view, so maybe there's something, I don't know. But she was taken to the hospital, then they sent her to a pediatric hospital for treatment. So to your point, Kane, there was something else in that.
Yeah.
Something else was in that besides just, especially if they had all of these other things out on the table. So he was arrested for child neglect without great bodily harm. He's still in Flagler County Jail on $25,000 bond. Wow. Let's see here. This Florida man stole money from a 12-year-old who was selling snacks. What is up with people? So this is in Tampa. A Florida man robbed a 12-year-old Miami-Dade boy. He was trying to raise money through his snack selling business, WFLA reports. Noel Prince started the Caveman Snack Shack a year ago to save money for his football and other stuff. And he said I wanted to be independent on my own. And he goes, because one day I knew my mom wasn't going to be here. He's 12 years old. He was going to a 7-Eleven where he sets up shop when 59-year-old Michael Hughes ran up and stole his bag, which contained $40. Police say Prince chased Hughes, who took the money out of the bag for tossing the bag and a rock at the 12-year-old. And Prince goes, I don't know. I think he just needed the money real bad, but that's not how you earn money. This kid is going to be a business owner. He's a capitalist. Yay! He said he still plans to run his business, but he's going to be more careful. He goes, I'm putting my money bag at the back from now on, and I'm not going to have money in the bag when we go out. So the other guy's facing charges of robbery and aggravated battery. You rob a 12-year-old. I deserve to have your A-double snakes kicked. Good heavens. This woman in Costa Rica, can you imagine like being on vacation and you think you get what you think is like a tchotchke? And it actually is like has historical value, and then you get in trouble for it. So this Tampa mother, she was in Costa Rica, and she, you know, got flagged by customs on her way home. She had just gone into a souvenir store, and she paid $40 for what she thought was just a piece of pretty pottery. And so she's going through customs. Kane's already getting uncomfortable. She's going through customs, and they stop her. And they go, is this a pre-Columbian artifact? Like, first off, how do you know that? How do you look at a piece of pottery? Like, are you a pre-Columbian art history? Like, you know,
barcode.
Yeah. And she said she was shocked, the woman, Christine Merrill. And she said, I paid for this in a souvenir store, $40. I don't understand. And they said she had to sign paperwork, pay a fine. And they said that she had to give them restitution. She tried to call the U.S. embassy, nothing like that. I mean, it was like a big ordeal, and she finally was able to get home. But now it sounds kind of like a racket, if I'm being honest.
It does.
But they took her into custody for a period because they told her that it was like a piece of like some kind of pre-Columbian artifact, and they confiscated some stuff from her, and she was just shocked. That is kind of unnerving because, like, you think that, like, if it's a straw market or something and you think, like, you're supporting local artisans, like, what? You know, now, come on. All right, we got a lot more on the way. Third hour coming up. The debate, what to expect, the rumors beforehand, and some culture. Stick with us. Do you guys remember back in 2020 when store shelves were empty and nobody could find ammunition? That was such a bummer. Actually, it sucked out loud. Nobody liked that. It was hard to find stuff. Like, we were calling up all these different retailers like, do you guys have any coming in? Do you guys have this coming in? Well, what if you didn't have to worry about that? So this is where Ammo Squared comes in. They can help you stay stocked up on ammunition automatically. Like, you never have to worry about it. So it's truly automated. You set it and you forget it. It's an ammo purchasing program. I've never been more happy about anything automatic before in my life, you know, other than, you know, automatic rifles. Pick your calibers, you set your budget, you select a shipping trigger, and that's it. And then your ammo builds up over time and it's delivered automatically when you want it. And then as the ammo builds up in your account, it's stored for free in their super swanky climate controlled warehouse. It's secure, it's insured, it's safe from threats until you want it. Especially in these tough times with rising crime, this is a very budget-friendly way to ensure that you always have ammunition when you need it. It's customizable to your budget. Build your stockpile. It's like contributing to a savings account or a 401k. And it was started in Idaho in 2015. They have over 30,000 customers across the country. It's Ammo Squared, a unique way to get your ammunition. Buy low, dollar cost average over time, then cash out when prices rise, or take delivery and skip the high prices in the market. It's awesome. There's no minimum to buy, no memberships, no extra fees. You can buy ammo on a small budget. Watch it grow. Visit them at ammosquared.com/Dana to get started and get free ammo when you sign up. That's ammosquared.com/Dana to sign up and get your free ammo.
Awesome. Anybody else got a question for the president?
I mean, I want to tell him that black folk will vote for him if he get gas under a dollar.
All right, so Mr. President, The statement, I'm not going to call it a question, the statement is, black folks are voting for you if you get gas under a dollar.
Oh, well, I tell you, I got it pretty close.
I mean, I think a lot of people would, if regardless of their political affiliation. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We are at the top of our third hour, and we are previewing a lot of this debate stuff that's that we can expect. I think, and first off, tonight we're doing a subscriber event for Substack. If you follow me over on Substack, Chapter and Verse, we've got our bingo card. We're going to be doing our debate live chat. And I have some pre-debate stuff with Fox, and then after this evening, and then afterwards, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central. That's when it kicks off. We got our handy-dandy debate bingo card, which I'm pretty sure every one of these squares is going to be covered. I am almost positive. We got convicted felon. Tells Bo's story. China. Overturn Roe. My favorite, the mic malfunction, because you know that's going to... How much you want to bet? Joe's won't mute, but Trump's will. Oh, yeah. It's going to be like, we joked about this yesterday, that Smiling Friends episode. Yes, Mr. Frog, can you tell us why you're so amazing and you have unlimited time? Mr. President, why are you the devil? You get 1.1 seconds to respond. Your time's up.
And you're wrong.
That's it. Oh, my gosh.
I think to make this a more safer drinking game, because people are talking about every square you cover, you take a drink. No, do not do that. But
oh, my gosh. They want to die. Why are you guys doing that to yourself?
But if you do get five in a row, either diagonally or straight across or up and down, then maybe that drink at that point. That might be a safer way to play this as a drinking game.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So that's, I don't even know, man. I don't even know. I was talking to a friend of mine about that, the story. So apparently the White House press corps is mad because, you know, CNN's kind of hogging it all, which they're hosting it. So they're making the press corps watch the feed from, what stadium did you say that was across the street, Steve? Okay, so they're at the Georgia Tech basketball stadium. They're across the street watching the feed. And then I guess they have to go there. They have to go across to go to the spin room. It's just wild. But, I mean, CNN's hosting it. So they have more than enough room, believe me, in that giant complex of theirs to have everyone there. But this is just like, we're hosting it, so you got to go over here. You got to go over to the basketball arena. You got to go over there. So we'll see. And in the meantime, we don't know. I don't know what the topics are going to be, like I've said. That's not out yet, but the candidates are on their way. I'm curious as to what's going to be discussed. Can I just add this too? If you have to have a mute button, I think that shows how bad of a moderator you are. If you have to put mute buttons and lights on the candidates' podiums, you're not a good moderator. You're not. That's lame. It's very easy to take control of the conversation if you've got the balls to do it. That's so lame that they have to do that. That just goes because they've got the 2 week. Dana Bash, I don't have any beef with Dana Bash, but she's not an aggressive interviewer, nor is Jake Tapper. And I mean, they're basically saying that, well, we can't handle the candidates, so we got to have these things in place to do it. It's really easy to be like, no, you're going to get your chance. I need you to stop. And then, you know, and then go back and forth. It's really easy to do it, but you got to be very aggressive and you got to get in there. And a lot of these people that moderate, they're very concerned about, well, how am I going to look when I do this? And I get that concern because you get torn up on social media. But if you're trying to give viewers the experience within a 90-minute, and again, it's not even a full 90 minutes. Kane, how many? It's not even 90 minutes. Let's stop for a second. With the commercial breaks, how long is the actual debate?
I think with two commercial breaks, I imagine they'll be somewhere in the 4 to 6 minute range. So the counting the intros, the rule explanation, the stuff towards the end, I don't, maybe an hour.
Yeah. So if you can't get those candidates, you can't get all that in that time. I mean, you got to really get in there and do it. And you can't be worried about to give the people the experience that they need to evaluate these candidates' performances. You have to get in there and be aggressive with it. You're like, okay, Mr. President, thank you. Okay. And that's the other thing. Mr. President, do you say President Biden or President Trump? How do you do it? You can't just say Mr. President because they're both president. You would both, you know, so how does that work? Mr. President, yes. I'm telling you. All right, so some of the other, got a couple other things that we're watching because we had the SCOTUS decisions that came out. We were touching upon that and how we don't have the immunity one yet, and that could be tomorrow, could be Monday. They're extending their term till Monday. And I'm sure there's two narratives that I see developing, and I'm pulling this up. The first is this government spending. We talked about that yesterday. They are really wanting to make that a big issue that they can try to like pin on Trump. The other aspect of that is, and I saw this, that Trump could somehow stoke inflation if he wins. This is CBS News. 16 Nobel Prize winning economists warn that Trump's economic plans could reignite inflation.
It never went out. It never was extinguished.
Ken, your mic is muted.
I'm just trying to.
No, sorry, sir. Sorry, sir. You're right, though.
Inflation is never.
We're in inflation right now.
Inflation has never been extinguished. So reigniting inflation is not a thing.
This is what they say. 16 of the world's most notable economists, all Nobel Prize winners, because we know that if anything, the Nobel Prize is strictly on merit, not politics, are warning that former President Trump could stoke inflation if he wins the presidency in November and moves forward with his economic plans. Quote, many Americans are concerned about inflation, which has come down remarkably fast.
They said inflation
has come down remarkably fast.
In no measure is that true.
I swear to you, this is how they're going to talk about this at the debate tonight. So, sidebar real quick. You guys need to get you like a stress ball. One of those squishy things. Get you squishy because you're going to need it. I don't need you to be throwing stuff and wrecking your dishes or something or hitting your TVs. Don't be doing that. Get you something squishy to, you know, or pet a dog. That's always nice. They wrote that. I'm telling you, the questions about the economy are going to be like, they're going to be like, Trump, why did you wreck the economy? Why are you Satan? And also, why are you going to kickstart, reignite inflation, President Satan, with your horrible satanic economic policies, you devil? That's what they're going to do. That's how, I swear to you, that's how they're going to ask it. It's going to be worse than the Smiling Friends episode.
Right. See, here's the thing. Trump wouldn't be able to affect inflation for at least however long it takes for him to sign a bill that's a spending bill.
But no, that's not true. He's magical and completely powerful and can wreck your lives. And also, he's totally stupid and completely, you know, completely incompetent and can't affect anything.
Wow.
Both of those narratives are true in the minds of a Democrat.
Is it an election year or something?
It is. It's almost like it.
Weird.
I mean, I can't believe they actually did this. They did this. Now, they said, now this is what gets confusing. So this is a CBS piece. Let me just read this because in three paragraphs, they managed to muck up this whole issue. Okay. So they have 16 of the notable economists, blah, blah, blah. They said, oh, he could stoke inflation if he wins. They're worried about the inflation. Quote, there is rightly a worry that Donald Trump will reignite this inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets, according to the letter signed by the economists, who include Joseph Stiglitz, a Columbia University professor, Mr. and Mrs. Stiglitz's son, who won the Nobel Prize for Economics in 2001, Yale professor Robert Shiller, who won the Nobel Prize for Economics in 2013. The warning comes as the U.S. continues to battle sticky inflation, with the Federal Reserve maintaining the highest interest rates in more than two decades, blah, 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 with the goal of cooling the economy, driving down inflation to 2% annual rate. Wait, whoa, 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 what? But Trump's policies could prove to be inflationary. So are you guys confused as I am? So we're not in an inflation, but we're battling sticky inflation, but Trump's policies could make inflation happen. What the? What is this? Is a CBS News piece.
Yes, it is.
What is happening? I don't know. And are we watching the debate and we're just drunk out of our minds right now already? What's going on?
Oh my God.
Woo! I'm confused. So, oh wait, there's more though. This piece is just chef's kiss. You ready for this line?
Oh God.
Ready? Deporting immigrants could shrink the labor force, creating more competition between U.S. workers and pushing up wages. Adding to inflationary pressure.
You mean pushing up wages past the government mandated minimums? Oh my gosh.
You've read this piece, right? Have you seen this piece?
I have.
I am so confused.
So is the author of this piece.
Who wrote this? Amy Pikachu.
Oh, that
or Peaky. Oh, of course her name is AIMEE. We don't have enough vowels, said her mom.
How do you get a name with one consonant?
That's weird. With all the vowels. Like, one E's enough. All right. One E's enough. You're not French. Shut up. I don't know. So do you understand now the reason I bring this up? This, coupled with the whole Trump spending, they're going to try to hit and say Trump spent more than Biden and his debt. The debt ratio between Trump to Biden, it's greater with Trump. That's how they're going to come at him. That's going to be one of the, and then this is going to be the other. We're not in an inflation period, but your economic policies are going to bring that period about. Those are two ways, that's two framings, two narratives on the question, on the topic of the economy tonight. Bet on it. Bet on it. And you all are going to be like, I don't even know, are we supposed to do shots on this part? Because I'm doing them anyway. Maybe you've come across this if you had to go and get a prescription filled. You know, maybe it takes a really long time to get it filled, or maybe you're told by the pharmacy they don't have that in stock right now. You don't ever want to be without a medication that you need to get better. So do what I did and take control of your family's health with a medical emergency kit from the doctors at The Wellness Company. Now, this is not a first aid kit, right? The kit is filled with essential doctor prescriptions that treat over 39 different medical issues. They have strong antibiotics for infections of all types, including pneumonia, strep throat, ear infections, all kinds of sinusitis, like sinus infections like I always get. It's like having a little urgent care without the $75 copay right at your house. And you don't have to wait to see a doctor. You don't have to wait in a waiting room. And everybody knows that's like one of the sickest places to be. You don't have to wait at a pharmacy. Every home should have at least one of these medical emergency kits. And they put it it all together in your little kit. They pack it all up and they ship it directly to you. I've used it myself. I've used it several times myself. I ended up getting a sinus infection that turned into strep throat. And I could not, from the airport, traveling, doing everything that I could do. And then, of course, my doctor's office is closed. I did not want to have to go and wait into urgent care. I was too sick. And I remembered I had my medicines. I went in, I took my medicines, and I was literally, and Kane remembers, I was like back on the road to better health. And I was able to actually do my job and be on air the next day, which is incredibly important for, you know, what I do. You can actually visit twc.health. That's TWC for the wellness company, .health/Dana, and use promo code Dana, and that'll save you 15%. It's super easy. It's all online. It takes like 3 minutes. So visit twc.health/Dana and enter code Dana, and that promo code Dana, that gets you 15% off. Again, that's twc.health/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
What? So apparently you can possibly, so the Department of Natural Resources is telling people don't illegally take cicadas from state park properties. They said they've received reports of illegal cicada harvesting at the Bigfoot Beach State Park.
Like there's a shortage?
Bigfoot Beach. It's for the Bigfoots. Is it Big Feet or Bigfoots? I think it's the Bigfoots, plural. Like Sasquatch, is that a singular plural? Would you say Sasquatches? No, I don't think you would. Right? Like deer, singular plural. So they're saying that they got multiple reports of people harvesting the insects, and they said that a hotspot is a place for a lot of cicada activity in Wisconsin, Lake Geneva, and cicadas are nutrient. No, they're not. Stop it. Maybe for animals, but not people. And the state law, you can't capture or remove any kind of animal, including an insect, from a state park. What if you kill a mosquito? Right? So the illegal harvesting, that seems excessive to call it that. So in Denmark, gassy cows and pigs, which are all of them, get a special carbon tax. You went from like being Vikings and conquering the world to this.
Well, how do they know?
What the hell's wrong with you?
How much gas?
Are they going to measure the...
Right.
Almost said it. Are they going to measure the orifice, the rear orifice of these animals? I'm curious. Like, how does that get measured? Yeah, they're going to... It's a world first. And there, that's what's happening. So, yay. Good heavens. Also, an entire Hell's Angel chapter in California. They're around, so... They were arrested for a string of violent charges. The Hell's Angels in the entire Bakersfield chapter. They got in trouble. So, the Kern County Sheriff's Office said that the whole place was arrested. I think there's like 6 members of their club that were arrested. All kinds of stuff. This one right here. An HOA board member was caught on video defecating on his neighbor's house. New Palestine, Indiana. A retiree and board member of the neighborhood HOA is accused of defecating not once but twice on the side of a house. He denied it until he was confronted with video evidence. He went out to mow his lawn, found some human fecal matter beside his air conditioning unit. And it wasn't the first time this guy was caught on camera either. Oh my gosh, and there's stills.
Why is he in charge of any HOA?
He's, okay, can I describe, I don't really know if we can show this. Juan's like, how can I put this up? He's dropping trowel by the AC unit and like trying to butt up literally on the side of the house. On video, like how would you not know that you're on video? Anyway, he's in trouble. Why is he in charge? You're right, why is he in charge of the HOA? Now, here's the thing. It's not a he, it's a she, sorry. It's a 74-year-old woman who did it. That makes sense. I was like, a dude that does it? This is real catty. That's a woman. Of course it's a woman. She emptied her bowels. This is a whole other topic. Who goes to the bathroom that easily? Like that. And on the side of somebody's house in broad daylight. Like, how quickly... Like, I know people that have issues with public restrooms. Juan got it up. That old lady... All right, we got more to come as we roll towards the bottom of this third hour. Stick with us, more of the Dana Show coming up next. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that what I can while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Obviously, the media, the nation has had their eyes on the brutal crimes committed recently by illegal immigrants. One of them was actually wearing an ICE ankle monitor. Yet this morning you said in an interview that the safety of the American people is the priority and that these individuals are vetted. But we know in our conversations with the ICE director, we've heard the FBI director say that there are significant gaps in intel. So what would you say to reassure the American people that they are, in fact, safe? And what would you say to the families who are mourning their loved ones because of these migrant crimes being committed?
Well, let me start where you ended. A message to the families is, of course, our hearts are with them, given their suffering. The safety and security of the American public is indeed our highest priority. We screen and vet individuals when we encounter them. If we learn of derogatory information subsequently, later in the process, then we take enforcement action accordingly.
Wow. Yeah, that's a reporter calling out Alejandro Mayorkas there saying, how can you tell people that they're safe and that their safety is your priority when you have people wearing, you know, guy who came into the country illegally is wearing an ICE ankle bracelet and he, you know, rapes and kills this 12-year-old girl. And I had another story of, we had this other 15-year-old girl who was attacked and that's like, how many of these murders and rapes have we seen just in the past couple of weeks from people who've crossed over illegally? And the sad thing about this is, for all of the rhetoric that Democrats, you know, spit into the atmosphere about caring for Hispanics or Hispanic Americans or people coming across the border, the communities that are most devastated by this are the Hispanic communities. That 12-year-old girl was a Hispanic American. The 15-year-old was a Hispanic American. You can sit here and go down, sadly, you know, this roster of victims, and it is the Hispanic American community that is being ravaged by this. And all they have is, well, you know, I mean, it's sad and that's all we have to say, but the border's secure. I have no words. And how many other crimes that are being perpetrated where they're still looking for people? What if that's like a gotaway or something? I mean, there's just a lot of, I don't know. The whole thing is infuriating. And I feel so bad for these families. You feel so bad for the families. That's, this has to come up. Please tell me that there's going to be an immigration topic tonight at the debate. By the way, if you are a subscriber over at Substack, watch your inboxes, because we were going to do the live thread, but I'm like, I think maybe if we just tell people how to, I mean, the debate's going to be, the live chat feature, I think, is going to be a little easier for folks. And these are the subscribers who will be able to access this easily from the web, or you can do it from the Substack app, and I'll have instructions in here how to do it. But we're going to have that event that kicks off at 9 p.m. Eastern tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern. And that's the Dana Show subscriber chat. It's exclusive. It's an exclusive subscriber event. So if you're a subscriber to my newsletter, Chapter and Verse, you're in. You can participate. I'll be in there. It's like a digital space to kind of hang out. It's very similar to, you know, how you do with Rumble when we're doing the live show. So that'll be interesting. The other thing I'm considering doing, Kane, and tell me what you think about this. If we open up phone lines tomorrow, I'm curious as to what people think about the debate.
Yeah. Just to see what the audience.
Post-debate calls are, they're really good. People get really mad, but they're also hysterical.
How many hungover people will we talk
to? I know. That's the only other, that's what I was getting ready to say. I'm like, well, have you guys seen the number of people who are like, okay, shots? Like, what do you do? Like a shot for every, I don't know if I want like all these hungover people calling into the show. They're going to be. I'm just saying, you guys are going to be tired.
Could be the best radio show in history.
I think we may have ended up opening phone lines. That makes a lot of work for poor Steve, though. So we're going to talk to Steve and see how he feels about it. But I'll make sure to send out, if you're, again, the subscriber, you'll get the number to do it, to call in and be able to go along. And of course, we have the chat over on Rumble as well. That'll be, I'm sure, entertaining tomorrow. With everything that we're going to have. So far, it looks like everything's ongoing, you know. They said that, everybody, listen to this from ABC. They just put this out. They said millions are going to watch the presidential debate. Prosecutors in Trump's January 6th case may be tuning in too. Because we still have the...
is there a gag order still on some of that?
Well, it's like been partially dealt with, sort of, but... Yeah, by and large, he's going to have to be careful in what he says. I mean, he's got to be careful, too, because it's kind of a trap in a way. I mean, really, it is. Think about it. It kind of is, you know.
I just saw a few minutes ago that apparently CNN now is going to be implementing a 1 to 2 minute delay in the video so that they might have the possibility of editing or cutting out video before it gets to the public. So... to me, that's interesting. So I'm going to look into that and see.
Put that in Slack.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Who put that out?
Hang on here. I'm going to put this in Slack now.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised with that. Didn't they kind of do that with the debate with Hillary Clinton? They were having Donna Brazile give her
questions
TV beforehand.
Already operates at a delay.
Yeah, but it's not a long delay.
But it's not that long, right?
And it's for.
Up to 2 minute delay for.
Well, no. What is the regular delay?
Oh, it's a 7 second slap out. So you could have up to like 45 seconds of a delay, but every time a delay button is hit, 7 seconds gets slapped out or edited. But I'm not sure how this is going to go then.
I think it's weird if you're not getting the full.
I know. I want a full unedited feed.
So Trump needs to record it. He needs to record all this.
Somebody
himself.
From his camp definitely needs to do that.
He needs to put, although they'll probably check him for devices. Wouldn't you think so?
Yeah. I know they can't have props. They do have, and all of that, but I would imagine people there, they have guests, right?
Yeah, but he needs to like record all of his answers and the questions, like be able to record from where he is you can get him.
Getting weirder by the minute. Why is all this coming out the day of?
That's weird. That kind of debate, that those kind of rules to edit out parts of the broadcast. You know, in case like Biden falls down and has a meltdown. So if there's any weird jump cuts, you guys know something went down. You know it. Yeah. Something went down. I wanted to bring up this story and kind of switch gears here. I had, I want to go back to this headline that I had. It had to do, okay, so this actually I think is fascinating. Have you seen, what's the, give me a moment, sorry. I just forgot the name of the show. It's a series that it's called Constellation. And it is on Apple TV. It's very good. And the first couple of episodes are super creepy. I don't want to give too much away. Noomi Rapace stars in it. She was in the first, she was the first Elizabeth Salander before the one chick, Rooney Mara, did the U.S. version. But Noomi Rapace, she was also in Prometheus. She's been in a ton of different movies. She's a really good actress. She stars in this film, or in this series. It's a series. And Constellation is about ISS. It's about the International Space Station. And it gets into quantum physics and really crazy stuff. It's brilliantly done. It's a very good series, and it's super creepy. And the reality of this story, to me, is very similar to the beginning, in some respects, of Constellation, that series. So two U.S. astronauts are stuck in space. They're stuck in space. Two U.S. astronauts, Sunitha Williams, Suni, and Barry Wilmore, have spent the better part of a month at the ISS because they had a problem with Boeing Starliner. Of course they did. Who is there? They need crisis management at Boeing. Oh my gosh. So their Starliner spacecraft with two astronauts on board, they're stuck in space. It started as an 8-day mission. Now they're going to be there for a month, and they have no return date. None. They have no idea when they're going to be able to get back to Earth. They said with Boeing, they adjusted the return of the Starliner crew flight test until after two planned spacewalks, Monday the 24th, and the second one's going to be on July 2nd. They do not have a date for return. They're trying to evaluate opportunities after the spacewalks. And they said, well, the crew is not pressed for time to leave. They have plenty of supplies in orbit, and the station's schedule is relatively open through mid-August. Now, they were supposed they went into space on June 5th from Cape Canaveral, and it was a year behind schedule, $1.5 billion over budget, and they had problems before the initial launch with like helium leaks and thrusters and all kinds of stuff. And they said that everything was, you know, not a concern for the return mission, but now they said four of the five thrusters that were previously shutting down, they're operating normally. One out of the one is offline, and they can't get anybody back. And they said they're trying to figure out how to, they're stranded. That's kind of freaky. I don't care how many supplies you have, you know, it's creepy to be stranded in space. So people are asking, could Elon Musk and SpaceX actually go and do it? Because you've had, you know, ISS, you've had people living up there routinely from a handful of nations since, you know, for the past, 24 years. And you have the ISS that is in Earth's orbit, goes about 17,500 miles per hour. Because ISS, you know, they said they've extended already. It was supposed to shut down in 2030. I don't know. But NASA gave SpaceX an $843 million contract to build a vehicle that's going to bring the ISS out of its orbit of Earth when its operating lifespan ends. So they've already had that project going. So now they're wondering, would SpaceX actually be able to design and get an aircraft up there, dock in the ISS? Like, can they get up there and get these people back? Oh my gosh. So not only he's got to deorbit ISS, and maybe could they also get these people home? Can they bring these American astronauts home? There's all kinds of problems. I like that they're having to rely on privatization, you know, quasi-privatization to bring it out. But they said that apparently that Starliner up there is not safely operational. They said that they could maybe get a ride with the Dragon spacecraft, because apparently SpaceX's Dragon craft is attached to the ISS, but it's on the opposite side of the station. And they're trying to kind of figure all this stuff out, how that would work. Would you, I mean, even if you have enough supplies, isn't that kind of a mind job to be trapped up in space?
Yeah, to know that you're trapped there, mm-hmm. and that you don't necessarily have a plan of action to get back?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little unnerving.
Yeah, little unnerving, just a little bit. I didn't like the fact that we had to hitch rides on Russian rockets there for a while to get up there to the ISS. I don't know. We shouldn't have any catastrophes like this. Like, how did we go from being the pioneers of space to now we got people stranded up there, and they are going to rely on us to deorbit ISS when it ceases to, you know, goes past its lifespan. Steve's going, where's our space force? They're building. They got to start somewhere.
Isn't that what that whole department was created for, stuff like this?
Yeah, we got NASA. Like, Space Force, I think, is more about defense, where this is more about exploration. But I agree with you. I think that it has to work, you know, congruently. Because I do think that space exploration is also a part of national security. Definitely. Especially when you can have space weapons and all kinds of stuff that, you know. I mean, there's all the stuff that happens in Star Trek and Star Wars and everything else ends up becoming a reality here for the U.S. or for Earth. But I know our space, we're the thing that sucks about space is that we're all here way too early to like really like, you know, go, you know, all out and enjoy it. And so, you know, we have a Space Force, we got cool uniforms and, you know, yeah, Space Force, it sounds pretty cool. You think you're fighting Martians, but we're not there yet. You know, we're still, gosh darn it. It's like wanting to go and explore the world, but you still think that there'd be monsters out there and you're too early. I don't know.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Me, it hurts even more that they're being used as pawns in this fight over immigration that doesn't even exist, because Biden and McConnell agree. It's just that Trump won't let them move it forward.
All due respect, Judge, you said this issue shouldn't be politicized, but by pointing the finger at former President Trump and Republicans in Congress, aren't you politicizing it?
I think I answered the question. So, yeah, I mean, this is about Jocelyn. This is about her family. And if we want to,
Judge,
as I said, talk about immigration,
then you didn't answer the question. Are you politicizing this by pointing the finger at Republicans and saying it's their fault, not the fault of the Biden administration that lifted the Remain in Mexico policies?
Again, the Biden administration reached an agreement with Leader McConnell to address this, but this is not about immigration. I'm not going to feed into it.
Why does she talk like a 13-year-old who is shy? It's the Biden administration. She's just like not even, good heavens. That's the Harris County judge blaming somehow the last president for the murder of Jocelyn Ungary, her 12-year-old girl who was killed and brutally murdered and raped by two illegal immigrants, and they're being held for their bond's been set up at $1 million, thankfully. Why? What is that? What is her explanation? Even that's so dumb. And you know, again, just keep watch for that for the debate. Watch that for the debate tonight. That's how they're going to frame that as well. Make sure you watch over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. If you're a subscriber, we have our chat event tonight for the debate. Kicks off at 9 p.m. Eastern. So if you're not a subscriber, you're going to miss out. So go and subscribe. In the meantime, today's stupidity came.
Well, it's going to be Karine Jean-Pierre.
She's one, your favorite.
She totally is my... What's today? Opposite day? Anyway, she was asked about Biden and the fact that he may be taking some performance-enhancing juice. I'm not sure, but she doesn't deny it here. Listen to this.
What is the response to former President Trump's claims that President Biden may be taking something tonight to boost his performance?
I don't think that... I should dignify that with an answer.
Oh. I can't answer it. Can't.
Could have just said no.
Yeah, folks, that does it for us tonight. Find us on YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. Over at Substack, Chapter and Verse, the subscriber chat event for the debate tonight. I'll be back to recap tomorrow.